This is DW News, live from Berlin. There's another shock at the World Cup in Qatar as Germany are out. Hansi Flick's men finally get a win, beating Costa Rica, but it's not enough to stop them heading home at the group stage for the second consecutive time. Also on the programme, Ukrainian officials warn Russia is gearing up for a massive aerial attack. Satellite images from a Russian airfield suggest preparations for an assault. And in Washington, D.C., leaders of the United States and France vow to hold Russia accountable for war crimes in Ukraine. But President Biden says he's prepared to talk to Vladimir Putin, but only if the Russian president is willing to discuss ending the war. I'm Rahila Mohammed. Welcome to the programme. Germany are out of the World Cup in Qatar, despite beating Costa Rica 4-2 in a thrilling game. Germany took the lead, then lost it, then retook it, but it was cold comfort as their fate was decided on another pitch.
Costa Rica and Germany lined up for one last chance to move out of the group phase, as Stephanie Frappard became the first woman to referee a men's World Cup match. Germany played the first half swarming forward and got the game's first goal on 10 minutes through Serge Gnabry. A 1-0 lead was theirs past half-time, but they soon came to regret not having more. On 58 minutes, Yeltsin Tejeda put Costa Rica on level terms. The underdogs and their fans are riding an unexpected emotional high. And soon on cloud nine, when the ball was squeezed past Germany goalkeeper Manuel Neuer as Costa Rica took the lead, it was utter bedlam at the Albacete Stadium as suddenly Costa Rica dreamed of a place in the last 16. Germany settled down, though, and struck back another three times. But the atmosphere fell flat as word spread that Japan were beating Spain. The win was in vain. And Germany are heading home.
Well, Japan pulled off one of the great World Cup performances, adding Spain to their list of major scalps at this World Cup and topping Group E in the process. Everything seemed to be going to plan for Spain when Alvaro Morata made it 1-0 early on, but a stunning goal from Ritsu Doan made it 1-1. The substitute had only been on the field 3 minutes, but his shot was too hot to handle. And Aho Tanaka sealed their latest World Cup shock with the winning goal on 51 minutes. Japan managed to hold on, dumping Germany out and sending their fans into raptures. Well, let's take a look at the final standings in Group E after that topsy-turvy night of soccer. Underdogs Japan go through after topping the group, having beaten both Germany and Spain. Spain qualify for the knockouts too, but Germany joined Costa Rica in making the early trip home. Well, earlier I spoke to DW sports correspondent Jonathan Harding in Qatar, where he has been covering the German national team, and I asked him how much of a disaster this World Cup has been for them.
An absolute disaster. I don't really know how better to explain it. What we saw in 2018 was bad enough. We thought that was probably the worst it was going to get. There were signs of improvement last summer at the Euros, but this really takes the biscuit, as they say. I can't think of a worse situation for German football to be in. You know, back-to-back World Cups where they've gone out in the group stages. This is Germany. This is a four-time World Cup winner, and they find themselves in this situation, embarrassed, going home again despite having won. And ultimately, it's because they left it out of their own hands. You have to control your own destiny at tournaments like this, and Germany paid the price for not doing that and for playing bad football at key times.
So what's been behind this rather dismal World Cup campaign?
Well, an inquest will follow, and I could probably write a dissertation about how many problems have been on display here for Germany. I think you've got to look at the structural issues in youth football, not producing a number nine. Nicolas Füllkrug played a role here, should have perhaps played a bigger one. You've got issues in certain positions as well, such as wing-backs. That's been a major issue for Germany over recent years, ever since Philipp Lahm retired. So there are issues on the field, there are issues off the field. The DFB and their approach in recent years has been arrogant, not really connecting. Think about the fact that Germany have had their base camp here in the north of the country, completely far away from everybody else, isolated, you might say. So there are a number of issues, but the bottom line is that Germany are just not very good, and they haven't produced good enough players in certain positions for a long time, and that's why they're out of another World Cup.
And Japan now go through after topping the group and beating Germany and Spain. Could anyone have predicted that?
No, I don't think so. I think a lot of people thought that Spain would get the job done and top the group and be comfortable. But this World Cup has certainly shown that. Look at the number of teams that have gone through already. Morocco, a really exciting story. Even though Saudi Arabia didn't make it through, they beat Argentina. There have been a lot of upsets at this World Cup. So maybe we should have expected another one tonight. But full credit to Japan. They delivered under pressure and Germany didn't. And that's why Germany are going home.
All right, that is Jonathan Harding speaking to us from Doha. Thank you. And in Group F, star-studded Belgium are also going home early, with Croatia progressing at their expense after a goalless draw. Morocco advanced to the knockout rounds as surprise winners of the group after they beat Canada, who were unable to pick up a single point. Belgium managed four, but are nonetheless heading home as well. Croatia go through in second place. Now, in other news, Ukraine's military says Russia has pulled some of its troops back from the main front line near Kherson. But missiles and rockets continue to pound the city and villages nearby. Ukraine's president's office said on Thursday that shelling has killed at least two civilians. Officials are warning people to brace for more, saying Russia appears to be preparing for a major aerial attack.
The Ukrainian hamlet of Dovenka has been devastated by war, leaving residents without shelter as winter sets in.
My heart is bleeding. You can see yourself that the village is gone. Everything is destroyed.
Millions of Ukrainians have lost their homes, and Russian missiles and drones have left millions more without electricity. Worse is expected to come. Experts say these satellite images show Russian bombers preparing for new strikes. At the OSCE security meeting of foreign ministers in the Polish city of Łódź, the host nation was quick to condemn the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Those responsible for the crime of aggression, for crimes against humanity, and for genocide must be held accountable absolutely. Only in this way can we restore peace in Europe and prevent acts of aggression in the future.
Russia is one of the Security Organization's 57 members, but Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has been denied entry into Poland. He chose to snipe from the sidelines instead.
The Americans want to keep Russia out of Europe. They have enslaved the whole of Europe. They have taken not only the Germans under their control, but the entire European Union.
German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock was quick to offer a rebuke.
When it comes to picking sides, 56 countries chose to stand on the side of peace and freedom.
Unlike his Russian counterpart, Ukraine's foreign minister received a warm welcome in Łódź.
U.S. President Joe Biden has welcomed his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron, to the White House in the first state visit for the Biden presidency. The two spent the day together ahead of a lavish White House dinner. Talks are focusing on the war in Ukraine, but President Macron also wants to discuss trade. He accuses Biden's U.S.-focused climate policy of hurting France's economy. The two agreed to work closely on energy and climate issues moving forward. Well, DW's Washington correspondent Michaela Kufner is following Macron's visit to the White House. Here's her assessment of the leaders' meeting.
The key signal coming out of Emmanuel Macron heading to the White House for the first state visit of the Biden presidency is that Joe Biden perceives him as a leader of Europe, as he put it, almost swallowing the A. Quite clearly, there are very close ties to all European capitals, but particularly to the French over the Ukraine war. Here, the symbolism was key, that the West remains aligned against Russia in its war on Ukraine, that Vladimir Putin should be held accountable. But the overarching theme were economic concerns. Emmanuel Macron had heavily criticized Joe Biden in the lead up to this visit for his policy of only allowing for US companies producing in the United States to get the kind of tax breaks and public funding that everybody craves in the drive for greener mobility. This is not just a pressure point, this is a potential rift, as Emmanuel Macron put it. Here, Emmanuel Macron couldn't get completely what he wanted, although Joe Biden said, yes, he wants to create jobs in the United States, but not at the expense of the Europeans. So there's a pledge to think of tweaking his IRA, his investment drive here in the US. But the Europeans shouldn't hold their breath. They also clearly got the signal that they too need to do their homework. So a bit more than symbolism, but little concrete commitment that Emmanuel Macron can take back to Paris and Brussels.
Well, here's a look at some other stories making headlines around the world. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg praised Germany's increase in military spending after meeting with Chancellor Olaf Scholz in Berlin. Both leaders reaffirmed their support for Ukraine in the face of Russian aggression and stressed the need to protect European infrastructure against possible sabotage. Spain has increased security at public buildings and embassies after a number of letter bombs. Devices were sent to targets, including the Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez and the Ukrainian embassy, according to the Interior Ministry. Similar packages were sent to a Spanish arms firm and an Air Force base. China has signalled a shift in the strict policies that provoked protests on a scale not seen in decades. Vice Premier Sun Chunlong told health officials that the country's coronavirus approach is entering a new stage. Big cities like Guangzhou and Chongqing are easing restrictions as officials try to calm public anger.
Frustration boiling over in Guangzhou. And scuffles with COVID workers in Shanghai. Rare public displays of anger with China's strict COVID policies in recent days. In many cities, they morphed into something even bigger, with protesters calling for the Communist Party and Xi Jinping to go. Scenes that have reminded many of the Tiananmen protests.
The first feeling that came to my mind when I witnessed the incredible protest across China was the spirit of 1989 has come again.
Beijing responded by unleashing a fierce crackdown, deploying huge numbers of police to stamp out the demonstrations. But it has also signaled changes to the strict COVID policies that have angered so many. On Wednesday, Vice Premier Sun Chunlong told health officials China was entering a new stage in its pandemic approach due to increased vaccination rates and experience with the coronavirus. In Guangzhou, authorities have already announced an end to mass PCR testing and lifted lockdowns across the city, all part of a drive to implement COVID rules with more local flexibility, according to officials. Beijing says it's also planning to step up vaccinations of the elderly. Lagging vaccination rates among the old have been used to justify the current zero COVID policy. With protests seemingly stamped out for now, and a shift away from the approach that provoked them in the works, Beijing may well be hoping the biggest challenge to its authority in decades is already behind it.
You're watching DW News live from Berlin. Coming up next is all the latest business with my colleague Rob Watts. A reminder, you can also find much more news, analysis and video on our website, that is dw.com. Thanks for watching. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.